Everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. Today is Sunday, July 13th, and my name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Ash Riot.
And together we're Hologram.
We are Hologram.
And that is a band name.
And
what else?
Basically
is
like a business, pretty
much. It's a business. We're a business.
An artistic business of love.
We're in business for business, for business sake. There you go.
That's a good one.
You like that?
For business sake.
That's right.
For busy.
For busyness.
Ooh.
Busybody-ness.
Dizzy business.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Let's do some really strange tongue twisters to start the show up.
I'm not good at those. And they actually, like, I don't like them. I don't like tongue twisters. It makes me restless. It makes my hands feel weird.
Oh, really?
I could never do tongue twisters.
Okay,
they bother me.
Try this one, Miss.
No.
Hands go weird whenever she tries a tongue twister. I want you to try this one.
No.
Strange strategic statistics.
So today our show is about,
You're not even going to give it a
try? Absolutely not. Nope, because I will just...
Say that 10 times in a row. Quickly.
Quickly, 10 times in a row.
Okay, do it in your head. Does it still make your hands go weird?
Yeah, it makes my wrists feel weird. I know I'm a strange person. It's hot today. I don't even know what the degrees is. Probably, like, I mean, when I was in California in May, it went up to 114, 118. And now I'm complaining. I didn't complain then. But it's hot today.
And we were just talking to Doug and Don, the wonderful guys who head BBS Radio. And they're in Paradise, California. And they're saying that it was 100 degrees right now there.
Wow. That is
hotter than here.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still hot.
Let's see. I'll look it up on my iPhone. It is, right now it's 25.
That's Celsius.
It's 30 right now.
30 degrees Celsius. We're not in Fahrenheit. So quickly convert it.
No. I don't know.
The beauty of the internet is you can just, you can convert it instantaneously. Just Google it. Go convert Celsius.
Okay, you talk to the friends and all.
To Fahrenheit. Maybe somebody out there already knows it. They've got the formula in their head. They don't even need the internet because they're brilliant.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly what it is. Look how long. It's 86 degrees.
Well, that's not that hot.
Yeah, I know.
See, I consider 90 and over hot.
I like heat, so I'm not really bothered.
So then why are you complaining?
Because it's just hot right now.
You are a conundrum, my dear.
It's true. I really am. And we are so excited to be back again today.
Live.
Live.
It's nice to be live.
It's nice to be live because sometimes we just have to do some reruns because life gets busy. But Cheryl, why don't you read the blurb
the
about our show?
Here's our blurb. Today's show is called Human Interaction and Reaction, and we're basically going to discuss the importance or perhaps the non-importance of our first impressions and our methods of basic interaction with each other, and the most basic of human behavior can conjure the most intricate of emotions and subsequent reactions, which is true, correct?
Yeah.
And how do we sift through the parallels and unparallels of existence in both unison and disharmony?
Yeah, I wrote that one.
No, you
no
didn't.
I'm kidding. Those are big words.
So basically what we're asking is, what we want to discuss today is just our basic interaction, because Ash and I are in fields where we're constantly dealing with people, and it's sometimes pleasant and it's sometimes unpleasant. And, we wanted to talk about the way we feel and how mm-hmm. we present ourselves and how, I was thinking about this topic earlier and thinking about the importance to me of basic manners. And to me, this is part of what I feel why our society is kind of going a little downhill, is that we're forgetting just the basics of being respectful and polite. And
agreed.
That frustrates me so much. And I used to teach modeling and personal development courses. I was a model for a while, and then I got involved in teaching for two different schools, John Casablancas and Elizabeth Leslie. And one of the courses that I was teaching was business etiquette and etiquette. Actually, I taught the business of modeling, and I also taught an etiquette course. And it's kind of like, it was old school, because the woman who owned Elizabeth Leslie was very old school, traditional, you know, brought up probably in the 50s woman. Really cool. I liked her. She was a single lady, had a couple of really cute little miniature poodles.
All single ladies.
I don't know. She was very eccentric and very interesting and very intriguing, but she also wanted everybody to know the importance of manners. And so part of her school structure was we would, as teachers, would teach about the business etiquette in our day-to-day lives. And I actually have been contemplating putting on YouTube just all the things that I used to teach. Emily Post is known for being Miss Manners, I guess. And I think Emily Post is American. And so when people are talking about manners, most people think about Emily Post. She wrote a book. I don't even know when. Everything I'm
Sounds
sharing
familiar to me, but I
is
don't.
Off the top of my head. Yeah. I don't have any notes here. I'm just going based on my memory. But I think, personally, I feel that we've forgotten how to treat each other.
Agreed.
And, you know, most of us are fighting against rules and regulations. I know for myself, I don't just adopt any kind of rule or regulation because I'm told that it's something I should do. I have to feel that it's something that I would like to do. And it has to make sense and be logical. But I can't see the rules and regulation of just basic politeness, manners, how that would be something that I would fight against. Because it's just being mindful of being respectful towards each other and showing each other respect. So I really miss that. I miss that people don't have any kind of I don't even want to call it a rule book or any kind of anything to follow or anything. Nobody's being taught anymore basic manners, basic politeness. And I think that's really sad. I find it very frustrating.
It's basically, I don't know, I don't see a lot of, put it this way, I wish that you wouldn't have to be so surprised in seeing good manners. It should just come more as default.
Yeah, it's true. I'm actually right. It's like, wow.
Wow, that person actually said, thank you, have a nice day, and opened the door. I mean, I always have tried to have really good manners. That's something that's really important to me.
Probably because you were taught that.
Oh, I was, always.
And, so that's one of the things, you know, in terms of reacting and treating each other, just basic manners, basic politeness would be a lovely thing.
It's important. It's really, really important. Cheryl and I, especially as DJs, have been, I'll say exposed, integrated, with a lot of different energies. And that is my biggest complaint about my job. Not as being a teacher, though I do, you know, experience it a little bit, but as a teacher, I feel like I have somewhat of authority. However, as a DJ, I feel like basically, at times it can turn into whoever hired you feels like they own you.
Yeah.
And it can feel very oppressive, and it's really tough being exposed to a lot of different energies, especially in a room when there's substances involved, like alcohol or drugs, let's say even the misuse of power.
And, yeah, that's a drug in and of itself.
And as a DJ, and I know Cheryl can agree with me on this, the most challenging thing is to deal with the lack of manners and the excess of, you know, power. And that was where one of the things that got us thinking about today's show. Cheryl and I both had jobs last night, and you know, we compare notes at the end of the night, and it was quite an interesting night. I actually had let's say a run-in, but just observed behaviors from a staff member from where I was working that were quite abusive to, you know, seeing how they interacted with different customers and myself. And it just really got me thinking, how on earth can we expect to evolve personally or impersonally, you know, just as a society or as a group, a sect of some sort, when there's, like, let's just say, weakest links everywhere?
Well, that's the art of being human.
It is, but especially someone that's hired to do something. Someone who is supposed to have manners, personal skills, you know, just politeness, representing a company. And they're anything but. I don't understand the mindset where someone could think that's acceptable.
But we also have to realize what we are also discussing is not everyone is coming from a mentally sound place. Some people are not very stable mentally. And so you're getting a lot of reactions and behavior coming from a mentally unsound person. And that is also the case, too, with certain people, right?
I agree, but, you know, just in the spirit of the show, like human interaction, how if this one person would have been polite, have manners, respected customers, respected me, you know, the whole turn of events would have been different.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that there's that old saying, that old proverb that you catch a lot more flies with honey than with vinegar. And that basically means you're catching, a lot of people will gravitate towards you more if you're sweet to them as opposed to giving them sourness in your disposition or the way you treat them.
Oh, I know. But I honestly, it's between us both and being DJs, being out in the public all the time, I just don't understand how people get away with certain things that they get away with.
Yeah, that's perplexing to me too. And I don't think that they do, quite honestly. I think on the surface, it appears as if they're getting away with these things. Mm-hmm. So let's give an example. So someone is mistreating you and you're kind of going, okay, well, who's your boss or where's the person around me who's going to say this isn't cool, like smarten up or fire this person for mistreatment, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking around and nothing's happening. But I'll tell you this, I truly believe that there's so much happening under the surface with that person. If they're going to be treating you that way, then obviously they don't have good relationships in their lives. So there's so much that we don't see. But I understand because, again, it just comes up. It's always about justice and fairness. And and so that is even in our interaction with each other. For us to be just and fair to each other. And when someone is being unfair or unjust towards us, then of course our backs get up and we're like, excuse me, where's the justice of the peace giving? You know, who is going to be the judge of this thing?
Yeah.
Like
I
who's going to, who's going to reprimand this person? Who's going to, you know, we talk about karma, you know, a lot of us are going, okay, well, karma will get you. Right. And then there's the spiritual aspect of, well, you shouldn't even wish any harm on someone who is harming you. You should just love them. And you know, okay. But that's not always easy. When someone is really out to get you and cause you harm, who attacks you, who slanders you, who says things that aren't true about you and tries to defame you. I mean, I've had that experience in my personal relationships and it's been extremely jarring.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm left dumbfounded. I honestly can't believe or understand why someone would want to do that to someone. And there's that saying again, hurt people hurt people. But that's not an excuse. I don't care if you're hurt. Take care of it like the rest of us. We're all hurt people. It's how we treat ourselves, how we get out of being hurt and not, you know, no longer having the barbs that are basically just sticking at anybody who tries to love us or come close to us. Get rid of the barbs.
So if you could, I don't know, if you could define the title of this show or if there is one event recently that you feel that needs to be, I don't know, I guess that's the wrong way to say it, but how would you tie in tonight's show, the events of your life recently? Anything that you see that definitely could be drawn upon, talked about, and that other people could relate to?
So once again, we'll just, for the people who are joining us now, just what we're talking about is human interaction and reaction. We're talking about how not only we are with others, but how others are with us. And how much of it is personality and how much of it is the other person's stuff, How much of it is the way we're treating the other person and they're just reacting to us? Like, really, it's about taking responsibility, personal responsibility, but also not all the time. It's not, you know, there are some people who just, doesn't matter who you are, you could be the sweetest person in the world. You could be Gandhi. You could be Mother Teresa. You could be Princess Diana, and they're still going to be sour. And that's usually because they're not happy people. They've got some stuff going on.
Well, let's open the phone lines. If anybody wants to call in, you know, ask us any questions, make some comments, call in. And even if you just want one of our songs, call in. We'll give you a free MP3. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And let's give people a few minutes if they want to, you know, get a drink or something and listen to one of our songs. We're going to ask Doug and or Don to play our newest kind of very raw, edgy single called I'm Back.
Our latest single, I'm Back. And it's interesting that Ash actually was the one who picked that song for us to play. And I'm listening to the lyrics and thinking, well, there you have it. There's an example of a reaction to human interactions. So we have a guest on line one. Annie is calling us, and I believe this is Annie Kidd. Hello, Annie.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Awesome. I'm so glad you called us.
And we love hearing from you.
Yeah, and Annie was on our show, I don't know, a few months back.
Yeah, we featured her and her amazing talent.
Yes, talents.
Talents.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I love your show, guys. I try to promote it as much as I possibly can. It's awesome.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you. I'm glad that you're listening. And I know that you can, I know you fairly well. I guess not like as well as I can know you. I know that you've had experiences with human, you know, with exactly what we're talking about is interaction and reaction.
Yeah, I was actually just listening to that and thinking, oh, wow, like, I was really liking what Cheryl was saying to you about some of the stuff. Like, I have a good friend of mine who always says, act and react in love, no matter what. He says that there's two emotions, it's love or fear. And usually when people are attacking or doing things, it's usually that they're living in a lot of fear, right? As Cheryl was saying, like, you know, she's, I think that's what you were kind of hitting on was the fact that, you know, people have the, don't have very happy lives. So
yeah.
A lot of the times they vent out, they react, they, you know, they go insane in their own minds and treat other people like crap in the process. And it's generally because they're not happy themselves. And, I was told by this friend of mine, Ron, he always says, act and react in love, always. And I said, yeah, but, and he's like, no, there's never a but. You just react and act in love. And if you do, I know it sounds like I sound like, you know, I'm trying to be some sort of like, you know, ohm master over here, but at the same time, it really does work. And there's been times when I've been really, really hurt by people's actions and, I've had to step back, take a pause, and, you know, react in love or just, you know, detach from the situation. And no drama happens. And sometimes when you do that, you know, it's incredibly surprising to the other person. And you have no idea how you're going to change that person's perspective on all kinds of things when you react in a kind, loving way with compassion, right?
That's so true.
That's kind of the way... kind of the way to be, in my opinion. I mean, I've had a lot of things, as Cheryl knows, because we do know each other. Yes, she's a wonderful woman, Cheryl. And I know we've all been through some heavy stuff. And for me, I've been through a lot of heavy things. And I notice that when I do pause and react in love or with compassion, basically, and understanding, or at least an attempt at understanding, I'm really about this book called The Four Agreements, and I think it's an amazing book, and I try really hard to live my life like that, and things change. Things do, and they have been consistently, and sometimes things are really hard. Like a month ago, one of my really good friends died, and, you know, my little dog is dying right now of heart failure, and I had to, you know, deal with some huge bills and an awful court case, and I just reacted in a really positive way. Or at least in a way where I wasn't completely in blame and victimization and all of that kind of stuff, right?
That's so hard. That's such a tough thing because for me, and Cheryl can definitely, you know, agree with this, I've definitely been feeling everything really intensely. And for the first time, I've kind of been in a way that's what you're doing, but I've been going backwards because all my life, I've basically just reacted positively to, let's say if my life was in a percentage, literally 90% of my life, I've been too sweet. And now I'm just turning, I feel like I've been worried, like I'm expressing so much anger and I've been expressing frustrations and that hasn't been me, but I realize that I need to do that, but I need to know that the outcome is not going to be destructive. Like, I need to trust myself into knowing that I'm not going to break anything. Like, not physically. Like, I'm not going to break a window. But just, I can't sever anything. So when you're talking about, you know, actually reacting, how you're reacting, like, with love, And I've been thinking a lot about that lately, and understanding that you can express frustration, you can express emotion. I mean, like, with your mm-hmm. dog dying, like, you know, in the process of dying and things like that, it's impossible to be like, well, you know, that's okay, it's part of life. You're going to have those really intense emotions, but it's just how you exercise them. So I'm mm-hmm. happy that you were saying or, stuff like that, because I don't feel crazy.
I know, Annie, I
get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, but I also want to say, Annie, you have been an example
totally
doing exactly these things, and I like that you shared, because there's times that I feel quite like I'm on your side as your friend, and I'm going, oh yeah, go get them, you know. and you're just allowing things to mm-hmm. be in a really light and loving way, and it's true, because the other person is waiting for you to battle them.
Yeah.
And then when you don't mm-hmm. battle them, it's almost like you're knocking them off their center, because
it's such an example of how you are
an example. Yeah. And it's beautiful to see, because when you're doing it, you can watch others do it and see how it works. It's not something you're just imagining.
You know, the thing is that I'll just give you guys a quick example. Like, when I totally understand what you're saying, Ash, about I totally understand what you're saying about that frustration, you know, because you're being nice and kind and positivity. But the thing is, I feel that there is a difference between being positive and also having integrity and having your dignity, right? Like, yeah. I don't think that we need to be pushing against and being in, you know, go get them or screw that person or I'm just going to fight you or any of that kind of stuff. But I think that we need to be able to stand up with integrity and dignity and stand up for ourselves, but also be positive and compassionate. Like, what happened with me just recently, I'll just give you guys a quick example, is that Cheryl knows this, but I've had this court case with my ex-boyfriend for 3.5 years, and it's been a really awful one, you know, him suing me and all this stuff, and for money that I don't even actually owe him. But it's totally okay. I went through a lot of pain and a lot of I was very, very depressed about it. There was a lot of, you know, anger in the way that he was, and he's bipolar and all this stuff. So I'm just going to tell it out there. But so we had this, there was this pressure. He put this pressure on me to come up with all this end of the sum of money. And basically the pressure, I didn't want to keep going back to court, And I sold my motorcycle. I ended up deciding that I'm going to sell my motorcycle and I'm going to pay him. The weather is beautiful. I raced motorcycles when I was 18. I'm a total lover of motorcycles. So I sold my motorcycle and I paid him off. I met him in the courthouse and I said, here, this is what I'm going to give you. And I did it on my terms. I did it with dignity. I did it with him not being able to bully me around. I told, like, you know, I stood up for him, for myself, and stood up to him. And at the end of it all, we signed these papers and I said, it's done. It's done now. And then I said, come here, Sean, give me a hug. And I gave him a hug. And I left the courtroom and I left and I started crying and I called my mom and said, it's over. And I think he was so shocked and seemed almost humbled in a certain way that I just didn't, you know, I didn't say screw you. I didn't fight against him anymore. I just said, I don't want to be bullied and I don't deserve to be treated like this. And I stood up, and it was 3.5 years of being bullied by him. And it caused me a lot of pain in my life. And at the end of the day, when I gave him a hug and when I left, I felt much better. Like, I felt like a huge weight had been lifted and my world had been changed. And basically, I feel like I had opened my mind and my heart up to new possibilities by doing that, by removing that real huge negativity in my life. And, you know, and I could have easily fought him in court and not ended up having to pay him or paid him a zero amount or a little bit at a month or whatever. But I just didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't feel like it was worth it. I didn't feel like emotionally it was worth it. And that's where the payoff is, right? That's where the payoff is in the emotion and in my stability and my sanity. And I think that's, you know, having the anger, you know, I can understand. Like, I've had some frustration stuff happen with my career and frustration happen in my marriage that broke up and all kinds of things that really took me down. And I just have to be able to live in that place and be able to be there. And, you know, Cheryl knows I'll send her a text every once in a while or talk to her. And, you know, she knows that I have definitely have hard days, right? And I just have to try to pause and not do anything too crazy and just, you know, get on with it, you know, pray
and
to the universe.
That always feels better, too. Like, it feels better. Like, I had this a similar experience with one of my family members that just tried to, you know, let's say dissect a whole bunch of stuff in my life, like my career and a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, where they loved me when I was doing well. And then when I decided to put it down, they didn't give a shit about me, basically. And I remember just, even though I knew how bad they badmouthed me, just walking up to them in my kitchen and just saying, I've missed you. And I did legitimately miss them, even though I was so heartbroken. I still put that down, put that anger down, walked up to them and told them I missed them. And that in itself, I can relate to exactly what you did about going up to them and hugging them. And you know what? That always, always feels better than an explosive fight. You could have just said, you know what? F you, this is over. But you did something peaceful, and peace always wins.
And peace is love.
Peace is love.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like my friend says, there's only two emotions, love and fear, right? So it's like everything that comes from love is positive and wonderful, and it's a good feeling, and everything that comes from fear isn't, which is hate and resentments and, you know, bitterness and all the stuff that goes along with fear, because it's all fear-based. Right? It's all the basis fear. Like, are we fear we're going to lose our money? Are we fear someone's going to take our love away? Are we fear? Are we fear? Are we fear? Right? And then when you're living in the love, then, you know, you have compassion. You attempt understanding. You know, you work on these things. Like, I mean, I figured out basically in my own mind, the meaning of life is basically human connection. Because I think the thing is that's how we learn, that's how we grow, that's how we expand, is through human connection, whether it be our friend or our best friend or, you know, whatever, right? Or our partner or bandmates, like, however it may be, it's that human connection, and we all learn and grow from each other. And if we can influence somebody in some positive way, it's just going to make everything better for everyone, in my opinion. I mean,
I think your opinion is very valid. And I also think, Annie, that you've learned to come to know this, because like me, I mean, I've done life I've had some years to do life in different ways, and I've fought tooth and nail and, you know how that felt. And I also allowed some things that I probably in the past wouldn't have, because I had a different approach. But, I mean, I think, again, we truly are works in progress in a way in terms of our lives. We're the artists of this life, and we're creating this beautiful piece of artwork, which is us. And and this is what we learn. But I also want to honor, you know, people out there who are listening to us who have been wronged in big ways. I mean, there are huge ways that people, you know, we live in a pretty unjust world. And, you know, we live in a world where people are being tortured, where women in India, girls are being raped and then being murdered for being raped. And so when you imagine yourself as the mother of that child who has been raped and then murdered, as if she was the one who brought the rape on, I mean, it's insanity. And so when we're in these situations, we're dealing with that amount of tragedy in our lives. Of course, there's going to be anger. Of course, there's going to be like a beta. You're shaking your fist at humanity, shaking your fist at, you know, where is the justice? Where is the love? Because in that situation, I can imagine that you're feeling, why should I be the one giving the love when all they're giving me is hatred? And that is where the challenge is. And I want to also mention, you were saying the Four Agreements. That's Don Miguel Ruiz. And when I first was introduced to the Four Agreements, it was like a light went on for me. And I love that you mentioned that, because I actually did a talk years ago on the Four Agreements. And I want to mention them now because I think they're really important. Number one is be impeccable with your word. Number two is don't take anything personally. I think that's a key one for me. Number three, don't make assumptions. And then and you're supposed to be able to ask questions, right? That's what they mean. They're, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions. And I think this is really important when we're talking about reaction and the way people speak to us or the things they say to us.
Oh, it's yeah, I agree. It's the dignity thing, right? That's the whole idea of dignity and integrity, right? For sure,
so
for sure. Standing up for yourself.
A lot of us don't ask questions enough because we assume we know what they mean. But we may not be communicating in the same way. And that's why I think it's important to reflect back. And I do this a lot. I go, okay, so what I'm getting from what you just said to me is I'm not doing a good enough job. And then they can say, no, that's not what I said at all. I just, you know, I meant I want you to do something different. So this is
I know. It's so funny. Oh, sorry.
You know, it's okay. I was just going to say that's part of the communication. And it sounds like you're getting your communication skills really, really in order.
It's like you're on an advanced program.
Yeah, you're doing great.
I think the thing is for me is it's just that I feel like, as you know, you probably know this, Cheryl, like I feel like, you know, when you have so many things in your life just stripped away, it's like when they first start to be stripped away, you fight against them, you fight against it, right? And then it's almost like the point where it's like that battling this uphill, it's upstream. And then when I just finally, it was like last year I kind of just let go. And I just kind of have been going downstream. And, yeah, I catch a few rocks every once in a while or catch a tree branch or, you know, things happen. And sometimes, yeah, it takes me down and it takes me low. And I get to the point where I'm just like, I start to get into that victim mode. I start to feel like, you know, I feel sorry for myself. I feel like this all has happened to me. Or I feel like I start to go, how come all this stuff is going on? And then, you know, and then I kind of justify it all in my head. I'm like, well, yeah, of course that's happening because you're not good enough, or that's happening because of this. Or, you know, and then I have to stop and I have to look at that and I have to think, you know, this is crazy talk, right? Because we all go through stuff in life. We all have to deal with something. We all have to deal with, you know, losing parents or dogs or best friends or whatever the case is. We all go through this stuff. And, you know, everybody goes through it and everybody deals with it differently. And I can either sit here and be a victim of all this stuff, or I can figure out what to do with the next step of my life. And I guess that's, you know, after my marriage broke up, that's what it was. It was like I was really devastated. And it was like, I can either sit here and be a victim, or I can and be hurt and in pain and sad, or I can pick up the pieces and figure out how to move on. And it feels so much better to be able to be in that state. You know, it feels so much better to feel alive, to be alive. And I think it's definitely, you know, you need to go through the grieving process, whether you lose a dog or you lose a friend or something awful happens. Like you need to go through anger and grief and figuring stuff out. And I think it's just but I think that we're not going to be any help to anything if we're just completely fueled by anger and hate. You know, we have to be fueled by some sort of compassion at the same time, and with our dignity and with our integrity too, so that, you know, like the whole idea of the four agreements, like we were talking about, you know, and not assuming absolutely anything. You can't assume anything. I couldn't even assume that my own husband loved me, yes or no. I don't really know. Like you said, you have to mirror it back. Like, is this what you're saying? And sometimes we think that the other person is saying something that completely that they're not. And, you know, I guess I'm just like, I'm really happy where I'm at today. And that's just today.
That's perfect that you shared that, Annie, because it's true. We go, it's in flux, right? There's times when we're on top of the world because we know we're just doing it all. We feel connected to life, to each other, to the world, and we're thriving because we know we're making the right choices. And then the next day something happens, and that's just the way it is. But the most important, like you said, is just don't stay down there. It's really important that we give ourselves permission to be sad, to grieve, to allow our feelings to move through us. But I also feel there's a time, and you know it, we all know it internally, when enough's enough. Okay, now it's time to pick up the pieces and go forward.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, I think that, like, one of the main things that I hear in everything that both of you have been saying is that it's important to be thoughtful. And I don't mean thoughtful as inconsiderate, but I mean personally responsible for, like, you know, the four agreements and things like that. I think one of the main problems in human interaction is that people do not think, they do not weigh their actions, they just feel. And that's when the people explode, or that's when they just don't treat each other well, they're not taking personal responsibility. And when I hear, you know, what you're saying about, you know, the four agreements and everything like that, everything that, basically, I'll boil it down to, you're actually thinking about how you're going to react. A lot
before
of people
you react.
Being mindful.
That's called being responsive as opposed to reactive.
Yeah. But
yes,
too many people
yes.
are not reactive. And I think that that one important puzzle piece, that one step, could fix a lot of shit.
What do you mean too many people are not reactive? I think too many people are reactive. They're
That's
not
what
responsive.
I meant. That's what I meant. Too many people
so many
are too
people
reactive.
Are just, they react really quickly. They don't think before they act.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And response is a lot different. And response is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And response is like responsibility, right? Yeah. So if we sort of digest a bit of what's going on around us and the way we're treated, and then think about how we want to respond to that, as opposed to getting our backs up and reacting and getting angry in return. That's definitely a key.
And you can help whatever emotions that you're having that could be detrimental or damaging blow over before they even come out of your mouth.
And that's where drama resides. And that's why I used to have way too much drama in my life. And I take responsibility that I was part of it. But I am a drama-free zone. And I think drama-free means there's a lot of thinking before you act. There's also a lot of selection as to who you have around you, because as soon as I have someone who's drama, you know, just surrounded by drama, it's like, okay, catch it when you kind of get the gist that it really is your choice.
And we've all been that person before, too.
Yeah, we've all lived it.
Yeah.
We've all been that person who your friends are just like, okay, yeah, I'll call you.
Yeah, I'll
kinda
call
don't.
You and they don't.
Well, yeah, and I think the thing is, though, is it's like, you know, like the three of us even talking, like, you know, we're very passionate women. Like, we're very passionate women about our you know, creative, passionate, you know, and with that passion sometimes comes that, you know, full-on reaction to things, right? It's a reaction to life, whether it be, you know, okay, let's do this. This is great. Or, oh, my God, that person, I can't believe it. You know, and I think that honing that and just sort of bringing that back and being mindful and thoughtful of what you're doing and the people around you, for sure. Like today I have incredibly wonderful and positive people around me and you know, people that I love. And I'm just like what you're saying, Cheryl. Like as soon as I see that, you know, in people, I'm not attracted to that drama anymore. I'm not attracted to that, you know, spiral out of control personality, you know, and I need to be near them and, you know, ride on that, you know, sled with them. It's like, no, my life is incredibly drama free. And and some days it can be brutally hard. And some days I feel like giving up and giving up my art and giving up everything. I just feel exhausted by life. And that's what life is about, is the ups and downs. And I just have to realize that, you know, I just have to get through it. You know, as Winston Churchill says, you know, if you're going through hell, keep going, right? Because the thing is we get through it. And I always have to remember that. And that's actually one of my favorite things. Going through hell, keep going, right? And you know, I do have people in my life that are Cheryl and Ash. There's a combination of amazing, positive, wonderful women that I have in my life. And so it's like, this is where I surround myself with now. And as I do, then I can be there for, you know, people who are positive, and they can be there for me, you know, whatever the case is, whether, you know, emotional, physical, however I'm needed, I try to be of service to my friends and the people that I love. And I don't want to get caught into the drama. And some days I'm having a hard time and I just don't know. I haven't a clue how to change my world or change my universe. And then other days I'm like, okay, well, you just have to, you know, and some days that's one of the things I love about the four agreements, is that the last one is always do your best. And some days your best is going to be just basically walking the dogs and having a bath and some
stuff.
That's
right. There you go.
You know?
So
and then other
that
days,
we,
it's going
to
be
that we are kind to ourselves and changing our idea of best, because it's moment to moment. It's not what, yeah. you know, maybe one day I'm having a great day and my best is I can do a lot of things, and the next day I'm not having a great day and I'm trying to strive for the best I did the day before, forget it. I'm going to end up I'm depressed, and depression is anger turned inward, because I'm going to slam myself going, what's wrong with you, Cheryl?
And you need time to process.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we have to be kinder to ourselves and allow ourselves to have each day be different instead of judging ourselves based on our past performances.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. And
that's
I also
really
wanted...
important and really good to not remember too. Really good, especially for people who are the creative types who can
and
get
it's hard,
out, like,
you know, talking about us being passionate people, it's true. You know, most artists are very passionate. And you know, there's also that attitude that so many artists are so passionate that they die young, or they have, you know, tempestuous relationships, or everything is dark and great art comes from darkness. And I used to buy into that until I read the Artist's Way book, which is what I was talking to you about before, Annie, by Susan Cameron, I think her name is. And she was basically saying in the preface of the book, she used to drink a lot because she thought the act of being, you know, drinking would bring out her creativity, because there's so much addiction linked to creativity, right? And she realized that she didn't have to do that. She can still be creative and not have to drink herself into this oblivious state of feeling and passion. And
exactly.
I like to think of us being able to be passionate without relying on a substance or a dramatic relationship. You know, that our passion can still exist, but we don't have to be harmed by it. Because ultimately, when we're in full-on addiction, or we're in a dangerous relationship, an abusive relationship, that is not bringing us anything in terms of, it's not love, that's all fear.
No. Yeah, exactly.
And, it took me a while to realize that, because I thought my drama life was, my relationships were all a lot of yelling, and a lot of, you know, slamming of doors. And I thought, oh, there's passion, right? You know?
Yeah.
And I go, no way. That's not passion. That's
dysfunction.
Dysfunction, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, wow.
We all kind of, you know, come to know a lot of this stuff just from living it. And, I wish I could have shared everything. I know, Annie, you have a son who's close to my son's age, and if only we could just give them everything we've learned so they wouldn't have to go through their own. But that's like any person. Like, we're looking at people across the room that we know they're dramatic people. We kind of stay away, but they have that. They have to experience it for themselves and come to know it for themselves, that they're happier when they're not in that drama. And I also think that drama takes us away from our true purpose. I really do. I think it's kind of it's almost like a distraction. And, you know, a lot of us are afraid to look at ourselves. It's pretty fucking scary. And I said the F word. Sometimes it's really scary to look at yourself, like really look at yourself and look at yourself naked, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And without any kind of judgment, that's the hardest thing, I think, for any of us to do.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, because we are the hardest on ourselves first. You know, just the people who are angry and the people who are bitter and the people that are mean are generally hating themselves first, right? And and that's kind of the stuff, is it's like it's, you know, for sure, I know that I can be incredibly hard on myself. You know, I've done a lot of things in my life, and so I think I should be in a different place. And I have a really good friend last year that committed suicide, and he was the CEO of a company. He was good looking, he was smart, he was funny, he was wonderful, and he was such a wonderful being. But he felt like he wasn't, you know, he wasn't where he should be in life. He should have the kids, or should have the wife, or he should have certain things. And he was beyond most people, but he was so hard on himself that he just couldn't live with himself, which was ridiculous, right? And this is, we are the hardest on ourselves. And I've learned so much in the past year and a half since my marriage broke up. Like, I've learned so much about myself, because I feel like I was stripped naked, exactly what you're saying, you know, stripped naked. And when I started to take away all the dramatic pieces that were distractions, my relationship was very dramatic with my husband, and when those pieces started to fall away, and here I was left with myself, basic care of myself, of having a bath and taking care of my dogs and making sure everything was okay, doing my own laundry for the first time ever, and, you know, things like that. It was really, really self-exploring, right, and really able to kind of go, wow, this is my life. These are my loves. These are my passions. And, you know, this is the stuff that I care about, and it doesn't have anything to do with craziness or drama. Like, because I used to think, do I really like this, or is there something, you know, because it was almost like my own type of weird breakdown crisis, right, because I felt like everything was stripped away. So I was like, who am I, right? And really building up and realizing the things that I do truly love. Yeah, I love motorcycles. Yeah, I love my dogs. Yeah, I love making movies. And yeah, I love making music. And so I know who I am. And I know that the people in my life that love me genuinely, love me genuinely, right? There's not for any reason. And, you know, and I'm so exceptionally grateful today. But yeah, like I said, you know, some days are way harder than others. And I just have to keep going. And
I think that's important.
Sometimes
that you share,
I need to take a nap.
Well, that's perfect, because we have to share that part too. Because again, people kind of, we judge our insides by other people's outsides. And when we look at somebody and they look like they've got it all together, we think that we're failing. Like your friend, and I met your friend, and Ash and I met your friend, and we thought he was wonderful. And, you know, very successful man. And I actually wanted him to get together with my son because they're both in the same field. And, you know, I remember him. He stood out to me. And when I heard that he'd taken his life, and I am someone who's had a lot of suicide very close to me in my lifetime since I was a child, you know, it doesn't make sense to us on the other side. But when you're in the body, when you're that person and you're left alone with these destructive head thoughts, it's, you know, really about comparison. And we're comparing our insides to other people's outsides. And I think it's absolutely imperative that those of us who maybe others look at as having their shit together say, I don't always have my shit together. There are days where I just want to give up. There are days when I think this world is cruel, and why would I want to be in it? And, you know, and we're all in the same boat. And I think it's important that we get that honest with each other so that we can help each other. Because without this honesty, people are just going to basically just think that they're not doing life the right way. And what is the right way anyway? Who said the right way? I just marvel at how similar we are. We are so similar. We think we're so much different, but we're so similar. And when we start talking about how similar we are, we realize, wow, there's such a kinship. And, you know, attitudes and personalities unfortunately get in the way of us being able to effectively communicate with each other. And it's really sad that in close relationships, we tend to treat the people who are closest to us the worst. And we treat strangers better than we treat those who are kind to us and love us. And again, it's about looking at ourselves, the way we treat ourselves, the way we treat others, and being naked emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, and taking an assessment and saying, I'm going to step out of this. Why am I being angry at my daughter, who I love with all my heart? Why am I making her feel small? Why am I making my wife feel small? Why am I making my son feel like he's not good enough? So we have to step back and look at why we're doing the things we're doing and stop it. And this is why I said that I'm not necessarily interested in that thing, hurt people, hurt people. Oh, well, we've all been hurt. Smarten up. Learn a different way. Stop hurting, right? That's kind of where I'm coming from.
I agree. I totally agree. And I think that you hit on some really great points there, too. You know, and it's I think the thing is, too, is it's like, you know, I want to just say to people that, you know, Cheryl and I had another friend who died a while ago. And, and so we have this sort of pact that if we're having a hard day or we're having a hard time or we really feel like, you know, that the world is taking us down, we stay in contact with each other. And she's gotten way more texts in the past year and a half than, you know, after that happened. And, you know, and it's like, from me, for sure, because I've had some hard days. And, yeah, on the outside, a lot of people think that, you know, I'm this person who's just like, they're like, man, you're amazing. You just, you know, you're always positive. You're always this. And it's like, yeah, well, I am for sure. I'm positive and caring and loving and all of that stuff. But I also have you know, I'm also incredibly sensitive to what's going on in the world. And you're talking about India and the women, the situation there. Like, you're talking about all kinds of stuff. Like, I'm a vegan. I'm super sensitive to all the ideas of animals and you know, the whole industry of meat and dairy industry. Like, I'm sensitive to a lot of things. And so I sometimes the weight of the world just hits on my shoulder, and I don't know how to deal with it at times. And yeah, I'll send Cheryl a text, or I'll, you know, give you a call, or I'll talk to, you know, somebody who I know gets it. And it's really important. I think that's one thing that, you know, to tell your viewers and your listeners, or tell them all that, you know, if you're having a hard day, you know, we've all been there, and we all reach out, and that's the only way we stay alive and survive.
We want to encourage anybody who's listening right now who feels that way. It's important to have a support network, and that's what we're basically saying, is that Annie and I are we allow each other to be each other's support network. Annie has tons of other friends that are close to her that she does as well. I do as well. I think it's important that we all focus on who and you're part of my support network, Ash, that we just have people who are part of our support network, who allow us to be who we are, and just say, you know, like you said, Annie, Winston Churchill, when you're going through hell, keep on going. So yeah. Thank you so much for sharing what you shared. It's been really wonderful to hear your wisdom, and I'm sure that everybody who's listened has gained from you. And so thank you for sharing from your heart, and it means a lot. And
thank
we have
you.
To wrap our show up now, so I'm going to say goodbye, right, tell you that we love you, and we're so grateful that you called
love
in
you
and you made a difference.
Oh, well,
thank you.
Thank you
okay,
so much,
Annie,
for chatting with me. Okay,
talk
bye.
To you soon. All right, bye-bye. So thank you, Annie Kidd, for that. That was wonderful. What a great show. Human interaction and reaction. If you have any interest in telling us what you'd like us to do in future shows, you can email us at hologram@outlook.com. In the meanwhile, love yourselves, love each other, and kiss some trees. Bye for now.